What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
League of Ireland Late Night
on Off the Ball.
It's nice to know that Grimsby Town are listening to League of Ireland Late Night for your takes here, Mark, and good sales pitches on Derry City players.
Join me, Cameron Hill, on League of Ireland Late Night every Friday night at 10 on Twitter Spaces.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
I'd like to be joined by two All-Ireland winners, Ciara Trant of Dublin and Dearon O'Sullivan of Cork. How are you keeping, Dearon?
Not too bad, how are things?
Very well. Ciara, thanks for coming into the studio this morning. A novel pairing, and Kerry, one of the most successful teams in history, but incredibly, you have to go all the way back to 1993 since the last time they won it. Galway, just the one All-Ireland victory ever. How did we end up with these two in the final?
Well, Kerry have been knocking on the door the past 2 years. So, you know, they kind of, the last couple of years, the work they've put in, and again this year, they kind of deserve the right to be there. And then Galway, I think they're probably the most underperforming team of the last maybe 10 years even. You know, everybody expects more of them and they haven't got over the line. They got to the final in 2019, I think it was, and or it could have been 2018. And you know, bad day out for them, but they haven't really lived up to their potential. So it's good to see them there.
Never mind the last 10 years with Galway. This season, yeah. The start of the year, the league campaign, relegated from Division 1, lost was at 7 of 8 games. Mm. Now, maybe it was all part of a grand master plan to peak later in the summer, but it's a heck of a risk to take. What? So something clearly just clicked between league and championship.
Yeah, like I suppose, you know, even you look at Cork as well. They got to the All-Ireland semi-final this year. They're relegated as well to Division 2. But something does click, and like the league is long and the build-up, and it can be hard and arduous. And, you know, Galway probably didn't have the full strength panel for the league. But I think they've used that to their advantage. They've channeled that really well. And maybe the losses have stood to them. Maybe it's given them just an extra bit of bite. They've nothing to lose now. Everybody's has written them off based off their poor league performance. So it's I don't know, ammunition for them, I think.
And I think their win over Dublin as well, Ciara, was that a massive confidence booster for them to do it in extra time in the manner in which they did it, to knock out potentially the favourites, the All-Ireland champions, the reigning All-Ireland champions? Like, I just felt like then going into that semi-final, they played with this real confidence about them.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, the past couple of seasons, I kind of think Galway peak a bit too early. They have one big game and then they disappear. And they follow that up. But the win against Dublin was huge for them. Dublin, red-hot favourites for the All-Ireland. And they played really, really well. And they worked really, really hard. And you could just see they had that bite that Dublin were kind of missing on the day. And it just, you know, they grew 10 foot since that result. Like, and you can see them playing with so much confidence in their system against Cork and so much belief. And there was no panic. They were kind of steady throughout the whole match. And even when Cork got a bit more possession in the second half, Galway just seemed relaxed and confident in how they can play. And, you know, I hope they carry that through to this weekend and we're in for a good game.
Dearon, Kerry coming into a third straight final, but have lost the previous two. And Cor Staunton was on last night saying that's the real opportunity for Galway, is to go after Kerry early in this game, put doubt in their head that, uh-oh, here we go again. If you just take away the emotion of the occasion and the experience and all that, when you look at the two 15s that are going to start, are Kerry simply the stronger team?
I think if you're looking at them on paper, I would give Kerry the nod. But as Ciara alluded to there, you know, Galway won't have any fear. They didn't fear Dublin. They're not going to fear Kerry. They're quite a young team. So I think the nerves might actually be there for Kerry. I think the pressure is on Kerry. They're favourites. I think they're, you know, expected to get over the line their third year in a row. So, yeah, looking at them on paper, I'd give the nod to Kerry. But we all know anything can happen in Croke Park on All-Ireland final day. So it's extremely exciting.
I shouldn't bring it up, but you know, the last team to lose three All-Ireland finals in a row. Well, you were both involved in those games as Cork beat Dublin. It's a different scenario because it was the same two teams all of the time. But when you think back to, say, that third final and the position that Kerry are going into this weekend where they'd lost two, and you just feel it's your time and it's going to happen, or is it more the negative thoughts and the memories? How do you balance using the experience that you have of playing the All-Ireland Finals against actually that being a losing experience?
I don't really know. I think through conversations I've had with the girls that were involved in those three finals, I kind of found it easy enough to kind of park the previous year and just look ahead and just focus on that, whereas a lot of other girls would have felt very, very emotional to the losses and very attached to them, and try to channel that emotion of the loss and the pain and the hurt to kind of get over the line. And I think it just depends on the player. Like, you don't really want to focus too much in the past because it's bringing up the negative memories, but you kind of want to use that. You know, we don't want to walk back into the stress room again. You know, we can't do it again this year. And I kind of felt, particularly after the third one, that, you know, getting to an All-Ireland final is so rare, and you know, are we actually going to have this chance again? We've got three chances in a row here and we've blown all three of them. You know, is it going to happen again? And luckily it did, and we went on a great run after that. But the Kerry players, I think, will be trying to avoid that thought. You know, avoid talk of any previous year or what might come next, and just focus on it being a game of football. And, you know, that takes a lot of discipline in your own mind to do that. But they kind of have to do that now for this weekend.
We can bring it up because we can all laugh about it now because you all have loads of All-Ireland medals. It's fine.
But there is a lot of talk, I would think, in the build-up. Just even, say, Darren, if you take Kerry, like Louise Niemöller Hertig, and she deserves her All-Ireland, and there's all this talk around it, and you think the pressure that must be on players in the run-up to an All-Ireland. Did you enjoy the run-up, or what was that like for you?
Yeah, I think the couple of weeks, or depending on which semi-final you got, you either had 2 or 3 weeks of a build-up between the semi-final and the final. It was a balancing act between getting yourself up for the game and not getting carried away. So I think Eamon Ryan was extremely good at that, keeping us grounded. But at the same time, you know, those press conferences, media nights, you've kids coming out to watch you training. So it is a bit of a challenge, but I think because we had got to a few, I think that experience helped. So I think small stuff on the day will help Kerry, having been there in 2023 and 2024 as well, or 2022 and 3, that, like, you know, small stuff like the dressing rooms, knowing the layout of the day, the program, the parade, meeting the president, the red carpet, all those small things. Because I remember my first ever All-Ireland final, I genuinely thought I was going to get sick on Croke Park. I have never experienced anything like it in terms of nerves. So I think the first 5 or 10 minutes could be interesting. I think that might suit Kerry. I don't think it'll take all the way long to settle into the game. But just going from experience and having been there, done that, I think Kerry could settle into the game nice and quick.
And Kerry, they don't rely just on Louise now. It seems that there's players all over the panel, and obviously Sheaf Roche coming back in there as well has been such a big help. It seems like they across the board, they have the strength there, that it's not just Louise that we're always talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you look at it from Louise's point of view, that was an extremely hard role to play for her for the last 8, 9, 10 years. You know, you're always going to be marking the opposition's best player. You could potentially be double marked. All the attention's going to be on you. If you don't perform, there's a good chance your team aren't going to win. So that pressure, I definitely think this year has been alleviated from Louise's shoulders. Just to name a few, I suppose, Emma Dineen, Danielle O'Leary, And as you said, Shifra O'Shea coming back in the last day, those girls have taken massive pressure off Louise. Louise is still doing her part, there's no question, but it's not just, you look at the score or the programme after the match and it's Louise has scored 10 out of 11 points. There's a spread of scorers there now. And I think from a Galway point of view, that would be tricky, because you're not looking at one forward anymore. There's five, six very capable forwards to score up there.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
That's huge, Ciara, because you look at the last two All-Ireland finals, Kerry scored 217 between the two games, and Louisa Mahertig has scored 29 of that. The sense around her then is that the others have stepped up rather than a dip in her own form?
Yeah, definitely. I think Louise's average performance is worthy of player of the match every year. Like, she's just phenomenal and she's so composed. But like Darren was saying, Kerry are scoring, like all their forwards, midfielders are capable of scoring, and they're capable of scoring from anywhere. Like their long range kicking has been immense this year, and it's something that you don't often see much in ladies football. And then you flip it to the other side and you have Roisin Leonard. You know, she's playing the role for Galway that Louise played in the past, I don't know, 20 years. Louise is nearly there, I suppose. So, you know, but the it would be interesting to see how Roisin Leonard deals with that pressure of being the score getter for Galway. And then, you know, Louise, she doesn't need to do all the donkey work. She can relax and enjoy the occasion and get on the loop and pop her scores and, you know, and get in the back post and get some goals. But if it's not happening, she can also make it happen for other players. She's a very selfless player. She always seems to make the right decision when she's on the ball, you know, so either she'll shine on the day or she'll be the one to help somebody else shine.
And Roisin Leonard, like, what a player. 2-3 against Dublin in that quarter-final. I think she got 1-5 in the semi-final as well. Like, she's someone that's been around a long time, Darren, but seems like we're hearing more and more about her. Even this year, she's just coming into playing her best football.
Yeah, it's interesting because, as you said there, Roisin has been around for a number of years now, but I think this year she's just really come into her own. And just one thing, I suppose, from Roisin's game that gives her, I suppose, the X factor is her ability to kick the ball from the ground. When I was playing, it was Valerie Mulcahy doing it. But just for young girls, I think, to look up to that skill is incredible. We see it all the time, obviously, in the male game. But I think Roisin is the only one potentially doing it in the ladies' side and inter-county level. So she has everything, you know, from penalty kicks the last day to free kicks. And she's contributing a lot from play as well. And a lot of her frees, you'll notice she's the one being fouled herself. So, yeah, she's really thundered into this year.
Why is that skill isn't utilised more across the game? Is it simply a power thing, or is it that it's not been coached at a young age?
I'm going to take the easy option and say, as a forward who takes frees, that it's not been coached. I definitely wasn't coached, you know, under 12, under 14. And then it's a very hard skill to pick up. I remember I went out kicking before training with Val one day, and I was like, you know, how hard can it be, kind of a thing. And off I go. And I woke up the next day and I thought I pulled my groin. Like, it's just, it's a different, you're using different muscles. So, yeah, I definitely think it's probably not been coached at underage level. Even, you know, coaching at summer camps, a lot of the girls struggle doing heaven and hell, you know, just kicking the ball off the ground, penalty kicks. So it is probably something ladies football in general could look at from the grassroots up to try coach girls to kick the ball from the ground.
Was that the same for you, Ciara? Did you ever remember growing up and practicing that?
No, I actually was might probably stroke my ego when I was younger. Playing club football, I used to take frees off the ground if they were in range. I kind of fancied myself a little bit back then. But I'd agree with Darren that it's not coached. But I think, you know, generally with lads, they're outside and they're playing football on the street growing up and when they're younger, and you don't see that with girls. So girls often don't have like that ground ball skill. And I know Mick Bowen would talk about your abductors and opening up your abductor to strike the ball with your instep and stuff like that. And in training and during the warm up, we would have had the ball on the deck and playing one touch and stuff like that just to develop that skill, because he just was appalled the fact that girls can't kick the ball on the ground. And I remember years ago when Gregor McGonagall was over the team, at the end of the one training session, we had a game of like soccer, and it was hilarious to see, you know, all stars being afraid of the ball once it was put on the ground and the standard of football. So I just think it's a kind of possibly a cultural thing with girls in sports, that they just don't play ground football kind of enough.
Yeah, I would never have seen it in training. I don't ever remember a time of we'll practice this skill here of taking the freeze off the ground. It just was never a done thing. Or even if you're kicking around yourself, you would never think to do it when the lads, if they're just having to kick a bit before training.
Mad. I never would have thought about that.
They would have did it. Yeah. I don't know. It's a strange one.
Yeah. We come back to that another day on the skills difference. Who's going to win this game, though, Kira?
I don't know. At the start...
Well, you need to give us something.
At the start of the week, I was Galway, and then yesterday and this morning, I'm thinking more towards Kerry. I think Darren was right in what she said. Like, if Galway want to control the game, they need to blitz Kerry from the start, just like they did with Cork. Like, they got four goal opportunities against Cork in the semi-final in just the first half, and that scoring the goals kind of settled them, gave them confidence, and they'll need that against Kerry. But Kerry will be, like Darren said, just get the scoreboard ticking early. So I think whoever wins the first 15 minutes could be in with a shout, but I just think overall Galway are too reliant on a couple of individuals, whereas Kerry, anyone could step up on the day. So I think they might just edge it.
One for Kerry. Darren?
Yeah, it is a very tough one to call. On average, Galway have scored 3 goals a game, and I think if Galway score 3 goals on Sunday, they're in a right position to win the All-Ireland. And that said, as Kira said there, I think Kerry are a more balanced team from 1 to 15. They're no longer relying on 2 or 3 players to get them over the line. And Kerry's bench as well. You know, you've caught Lynch to come in there, Hannah O'Donoghue and Lorraine Scanlon. So I think their bench could play a big part. Croke Park's a big pitch. So I'm giving probably the nod to Kerry.
Aisling.
Oh God, right. On paper, yeah, I definitely would think Kerry, but I think it's all about how they're going to perform on the day, the occasion, all of that. They've young players. Can they rise to all of that? Because at the moment, I'm just seeing this confidence with Galway and Olivia Dively just powering through. She's one of these players that can change a game. Something is telling me that if they can all perform to the level they maybe have, say even that quarter final over Dublin, that it could be their day. But I would love to see Louise Niemeyer if they get her All-Ireland.
Anything to stand out in the intermediate and the junior? So the intermediate is Tyrone, who've sort of gone between senior and intermediate, who I'd imagine are strong favourites. Like, brilliant for Leitrim to be in an intermediate final at Croke Park. And then Fermanagh and Louth in the junior final?
Yeah, like you said, I think Tyrone, it's their game to lose in the intermediate final. And Leitrim will be delighted to be there, and they'll be competitive, but it's a step forward for them. You know, I don't think they're ready for senior football, whereas Tyrone, they should be up playing senior football every year. And then the junior final, I think junior football, it depends on how your key players are playing. So for me, it's Emer Smith against Kate Flood. And I think for Manna, I think Emer Smith, she's just scoring, shooting the lights out this season. I think she could edge it for Fermanagh on the day, but I think that would be a lot closer to call.
See anything different, Darren?
No, I think Leitrim are probably the wild card potentially to get to that final, whereas it would have been expected for Tyrone to be there. Tyrone have played majority senior football, so they'd be looking definitely to get back up there. And I'm going to give Fermanagh the nod in the junior football.
It's always a big day and a brilliant day and a long day, and with the three matches and so many different supporters coming through, it's also become a hugely successful day for the LGFA with the crowds that have been there. And when we look at improvements that can be made in terms of promotion of the game, it's always looked at, well, how do we get the 50,000 that go to All-Ireland Final Day to start going to the games earlier in the season? The Irish Independent have a story today that the finals, and it's the 50th anniversary, so there's celebrations going on around that as well on Sunday, that the finals are expected to draw no more than 35,000. Now, in 2019, there was 56,000. The rise in attendances does coincide with Dublin being in the final consistently over the last decade, and there are factors that play into it, such as the fact that Galway are in finals in three straight weekends. It seems there's club football games on down in Kerry on Sunday, and the Kerry hurling final is there as well, and the fact the Dubs aren't there is automatically going to see. But it is disappointing that that sort of level of 45, 50,000 isn't being maintained. And it does raise a question around the timing of the finals, and that the men's side have gone to a straight split season to get it finished earlier. Is there an opportunity for ladies football to push their finals back a few weeks and have August to themselves?
Yeah, possibly, with kind of the break from the men's side of things, people will be craving a bit of football, so that possibly could that work that way. Like, ladies football has kind of followed into that kind of split season as best they can. I think the promotion of the game could be done a little bit differently. I don't think they're hitting the right target audience. I think they need to go much younger with it. And, you know, there's an ad on the radio at the moment. I don't think that's really doing ladies football any favours. But you also got the Olympics to compete with, and that's everybody's focus now. Mm. You know, the hurling and the men's football is out of the way, and it's just Olympics. So I don't think that's helping either. But at the start of the year, I didn't expect us to be getting a big crowd for the final either. I don't know. I think the appetite for ladies football at the minute hasn't kind of grown since 2017,
18, 19.
Why?
Is that because the AFL and maybe the standard? And cause I know that is something people have talked about, and people ask me quite a lot as well. Mm. Do you think the standard has dropped?
Well, I think both semi-finals were quite poor, to be honest. I thought some of the basic skills weren't reflective of what the girls are capable of. And, you know, I think it possibly men's football has gotten a bit boring as well to watch. You know, very defensive, very, very tactical. And maybe the lack of excitement there. I know I shouldn't be saying this, but the lack of excitement that game probably isn't making football in general that attractive. But, you know, even the lead lad isn't talking about the football side of things. It's talking about, you know, please come to our match, please come to the occasion, rather than let's see the football, let's play the football.
So you think it needs to move past that? Because funnily, our coverage of the Republic of Ireland team has transformed completely over the last three or four years. From it was that conversation of how do you get people to go, to now the conversation is, well, where should Katie McKay play for half an hour? And everybody understands the nuances of the team enough to be able to have that conversation, where it does feel, while we've just spoken about the game, that this part of it is still also, well, how do we just get people to go, rather than focusing enough on the football side of it and the stars and the talent?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think that was the narrative. I think we did make that kind of shift. And I know, like, I don't know about Dieran, but people do talk to me about the game more than the occasion. Mm. And there's less, like, lip service and aren't you a great girl playing sports and all this, fair play to you. That kind of has gone a little bit. But I just don't think that the appetite is there for it. And how do you get it back? Maybe because the success of the women's team, maybe people have found, well, it's not just ladies football that we're talking about in Ireland anymore, and maybe they've drawn a bit of a crowd away from ladies football either. But I think it could be promoted differently.
In what way?
Promote the football, like force the football on people. And, you know, I know I'm talking about this ad again, but they're saying, you know, like the Lidl ad is basically saying, you know, we want ladies football to sound like this, and there's a big cheer, but at the moment it sounds like this and there's a few claps. And I feel it's a little bit kind of embarrassing. It's saying nobody comes to our game, so will you please come to our match this weekend, rather than having something that's, you know, maybe commentary on yeah. a play or a game, or, you know, focusing on the football side of things and the energy and the passion in that, rather than come to this occasion.
I used to hate seeing the muck on the girls' faces.
Yeah.
I feel like, what is this? Like, do you ever see the lads in pictures, promo pictures or ads, and they've muck all over their faces? Like, we don't need to make it out that, whoa, yeah, it's so rough and they were great, that we're, you know, tackling so hard. Like, yeah, as you said, they're selling it maybe in the wrong way at times. For you, Darren, is there anything that we could do differently? Like Nathan said on the scheduling, would you change it that the LGFA just has the August month for all eyes to be on it?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest, if that would make a huge difference. I think people's mindset have changed now that, you know, from August on, it's really club.
Yeah.
Anyway, like we 2 weeks now to our club championship. So I think that mindset has changed. I think, you know, intercounty football is in the height of it in June and July. The first week in August, that's it really. So I think if you were to be an intercounty player and have, you know, a week gap between intercounty and club, it's too much to ask for the players. Personally, I can't understand why a Kerry Galway, you know, clash on Sunday is only expected to get not even the 30,000. Like, it's mouth-watering, as you said. You know, Kerry haven't won since 1993, Galway since 2004, there's going to be a new All-Ireland winner at 6 o'clock on Sunday. So, for me, I can't understand how it isn't going to be get that crowd. But as Ciara alluded to, that little ad, just to get that message across, like, that is so staged. I can't understand. I don't know if it's, like, rights or media rights, whatever. I can't understand why they can't have a real clip of us playing football, commentating on it and showing what football is like. I just think it's really staged, you know, the falling, the muck on the face. It's not realistic. And I just think that message is like begging people to come to the matches. You know, if people, it's nearly like a desperation thing. Instead of just showcasing, you know, how good intercounty ladies football is, yeah, I just think that message is a bit confusing.
Yeah, as I said, there's lots of other factors playing into this as well. The cost of coming to Dublin on a bank holiday weekend is obviously there. Galway been in so many All-Ireland finals over the space of a few weeks. Doesn't help when there's a full round of men's club games happening in Kerry as well. And maybe when and if amalgamation eventually happens, those are some of the small things that might help get the crowd back up. But you would hope that this is a one-off and that we're not just reliant on Dublin getting to an All-Ireland final for there to be 50,000 people in Croke Park. We'll come back to this after, when we're in a quieter period and we concentrate on the football side of things for this weekend. Enjoy the games. You're going to be there for us on Sunday.
Yeah, I will.
Sunday.
Looking forward to it.
It's going to be a long, busy afternoon, but it should be a cracker. Aisling, you're going to be there as well. Are you going to make your way up, Darren?
I will, yes, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, enjoy it all.
Are you playing in the sevens? Did you ever get
no.
a chance to do that on the Saturday? No? Okay.
No,
yeah.
We actually, you need to enter really early, and we were talking about it at the start of summer, but we were too late.
Oh, geez, I'd say now if you said you were going, they'd let you in.
Do you know who I am?